Amen. How many are glad for the great name of Jesus Christ? It's more powerful than a locomotive. It's more powerful, period. Welcome to Living Springs Wesleyan Church, where God is working, where his power is flowing, where his people are wonderful. And you won't say that about yourself, but I'll say it. As we go to prayer this morning, we need to pray for a couple of folks that are in need of prayer this morning. Susan Anderson is having some pain and having some difficulty this morning. Please keep her in prayer. Phyllis Blasey is having some back issues. Dory has pneumonia. And so continue to pray that God will heal her entirely so she can go back home, which is her desire, of course. And of course, Wendy, and there are needs that are here that I know of, that God has sustained and touched you, but you're in the house of God and you need his merciful hand. There's also a lady named Adrienne, who is Herb's niece daughter-in-law, and she's in Aruba and on a medical missionary type thing, and she's been bitten by something. They don't know what it is, I guess, and she's really sick. So keep her in your prayers as well. So let's go to the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, as the list grows and grows of the needs of the people of the house of God, and the needs grow and grow of the people that are lost and do not know you, Lord, there will be no list that we ever bring to you that will be greater than your name. Lord, there will be no request that we bring that will exceed your glory and your person. There will be no answer we seek that will be beyond the glory and the reach of Almighty God. And we pray for each of these needs. Each name is precious to you. And we ask, Lord, that your hand of mercy and healing would touch Susan this morning sovereignly. We pray, Lord, for Phyllis, that you would minister to her body. Lord, we pray for Dory, that you would heal the pneumonia, that you would strengthen her, that she can go home and find her recovery in your name. Of course, our heart today is with Harry. Continue, Lord, your merciful touch upon the life of that gentleman. Lord God, we pray for Wendy. We pray, Lord Jesus, for those things we do not understand. And we thank you, Lord, you understand them. And so we surrender her and everyone, Lord, into the great arms of Jesus Christ. And pray, Lord, that by your power, you would move sovereignly in every circumstance. And we ask for Adrienne this day. Lord, whatever the bite is, whatever has happened, we know, Lord Jesus, that you are greater. And so we ask you to heal her sovereignly, physically, immediately, Lord Jesus, and have mercy upon all those that are with her. Maybe others have been so afflicted. We pray that the power of God would flood that region and would bring people to the real medical healer, Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe. Father, I pray, Lord, your special touch on today, Lord, in every life that is gathered, that they would sense your love, your devotion to them. And we thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just a few announcements. We have some gift cards that are going to be used for the women's ministry to purchase and to as a way to raise money and to use the gift cards. Those will be available Monday through Saturday through the week, and Virginia is going to be the point person on that. Please stand.
Stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power.
We're going to sing this song, "The Longer I Serve Him, the Sweeter He Grows." And we're going to sing this for Harry. This is one of his favorite songs. They're all his favorites, but I know he pointed this one out. So let's sing it. Have a smile on your face for this lovely man.
Stop.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the words of Isaiah. Is it I, Lord? I want to hold your people in my heart and to make room for that. I need to get rid of anything that's in the way so that there is an abundant entrance for those whose hearts are weak, for those whose hearts are wounded, for those who need the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, we are very aware of the time in which we live, and we ask, Lord Jesus, that you'd grant unto us your sight, your vision, your heart, that we do not live by fear, but we live by faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. Father, I pray now, Lord, that you would enrich your word. Your word is the best meal we've ever received. Lord God, may we know today that you have met us in your house. Father, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you. The title of the message is Home Cooking, From Aunts to Uncles. Okay. You think about that for a second. And I'm going to ask you to turn to Proverbs, the 6th chapter. How many know we can learn a lot from God's creation? That's why he put it there. Please turn to Proverbs 6, the 6th verse. And maybe you want to think of this before you step on your next aunt. I don't know. I guarantee you when they're in our house, we pray first and then we do send them to God. But the 6th verse. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. We can learn a lot from the ant, and we're going to get to that in a second. Before we do that, I want to have you look up at the PowerPoint. Dave's going to put an invitation up here. You've been invited to Living Springs Family Restaurant. God is the proprietor. And here's your menu. Looks like a Thanksgiving meal. Turkey, dressing, homemade dressing. Okay, mashed potatoes, corn, bread, apple pie, coffee, and milk. Now, when you come expecting a dinner, you have a certain way of thinking when you come in, don't you? Show the first slide. You come to Living Springs and this is what you see. Tom Turkey is going to meet you at the door. And he's not dressed yet. Okay? Second frame. This is the dressing part of it, the herb dressing that we like. You come and that's what you see. You see piles of celery or onion, different parts of the dressing. And you immediately think, thought I was just supposed to come and eat. Then, the next frame, you've got potatoes looking back at you. They don't look ready to eat. They look like they could be really some kind of a weapon, I think. But, and then the next one, Jimmy cracked corn and we don't care because we're hungry. But that's not quite ready to eat, is it? Then the next one, you see all this grain. You don't see any bread. It goes against the grain. Okay? You're supposed to catch all these bad jokes. Okay? Then the next frame. How many like apple pie? Okay. Well, when you come that day, you'll be the apple of our eye, but it'll still be up in the sky. It's not quite ready yet. And that rolling pin, I don't know, I guess can roll our sins away. That'd work. Then the final frame is the next one is for coffee. How many of you want to do your own, make it, you know? Doesn't that machine look lovely? I tell ya, that's scarier than the sermon. That's for your coffee. I don't drink coffee, so I'll graciously watch you drink it. But if you like coffee, you might want some milk. So this is the next thing that's gonna come at you. You gotta move over to get it, okay? But you don't expect that, do you? When you come to someone's table, you expect it to be prepared, don't you? As you should. When we come to the house of God, whether it's for Sunday school or Bible studies or ministry of any sort, certainly to the pulpit ministry, it should be prepared ahead of time. How many believe that? How many want to come and there's no effort at all? You'll be able to tell. You should be able to tell. Should be prepared. Now, I have had on maybe one occasion in the history of ministry where when I had a church, I had the message ready, and I came that morning. I wasn't teaching Sunday school, but I was sitting in there. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "You're not done yet." And I said, "Oh, good. So what do you want?" And he gave me a totally different message. Totally different, absolutely different. Now, it doesn't mean I shouldn't have prepared for the other one. It just means in that moment, he wanted to see if I was listening. It's important to hear from God. So I do what's called home cooking, okay? I'm not against Bible study guides. I'm not against any kind of material that's helpful to you as a Christian. I think those are wonderful complement to your Christian life. But the only thing I'm concerned about is that I think, in general, a lot of people know more about an author than they know about the Bible. And let me tell you, when you're fighting the enemy or you're going through something in your life, quoting an author will not do. The devil will just say, "Who cares?" You quote the scripture, and you know the scripture, and it's a totally different story. Okay? So in this great portion in Proverbs, we're going to learn something from the ant. They're going to teach us. They don't have an uncle, but we are going to learn something. But I'm going to start in Proverbs 30 to begin with, and then we'll go back there. Proverbs 30. How many think we need wisdom in this world? Okay, this is another scripture like the last one. Ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. They are creatures of little strength. Proverbs 30, 25. We have so many translations. It's hard for some. First thing about being home fed is you have to participate. Now, you come to a house to eat, I will bet you that every single one of you gets to the table, sits down, gets your utensils ready, and you get ready to eat. Does anybody have to convince you to eat? Does anybody need to give you a timely word as to why you should have food? No, for the most part, you run before they even are ready, probably, because you're hungry. It's a thing of participation. How many know that the Pulpit ministry is not a solo work. Do you know that? A couple weeks ago, when the bulk of the ministry, the worship team was gone, and Darlene and Jan very lovingly saw me alone up here, they came to my side, either side, to stand up here with me. If the pulpit ministry or the Sunday school ministry or whatever ministry it is that you're in and that you participate in, if you think it's a solo venture, please pay attention, because none of us are truly to be alone. And the ants are a great teacher here, because the Bible says here they are not strong. But you know, collectively they are. You see some of the work they do? Ding, ding. Hello. They have a well-ordered community. And they don't even need anybody to be their leader, because they all know their job. They all know exactly what's expected of them to do. They have flat chambers that are connected by galleries. And they're scattered around. They average about 2 yards in size. And they're about a foot deep. And they go deep, obviously, because of heat. They want to be protected from the heat, which I can appreciate significantly, because I don't care for heat. I always say I'm glad I'm not going to hell, because I don't like heat, but nonetheless. And then they have their nests, and their nests can be anywhere from 25 to 40 feet in diameter and 6 to 7 feet deep, with several entrances. I mean, that's a lot of work, isn't it? They have to really work together. Now, I doubt they get on the phone and say, hey, over there, did you do this? They just know what to do, and they get it done. It's great. They don't need a job description. They are just participating. They communicate through their antennas, which are their senses, their sight, their smell, their sound, their hearing. And that's how they talk. That's how they know what's going on. And the Bible says, this is a mark of wisdom. They're small. They're weak. They're not strong. But together, they're mighty. Individually, none of us are very strong. But collectively, we can be very strong in the power of the Lord. Nobody can force you to eat. We went to see Harry the other night, and he was resting in the Lord quite deep, so I didn't bother him. We prayed for him, but we noted that one of the things is that he's not able to swallow and eat by himself. Nobody's going to be able to push this down anyone's throat. You know what it's like when you're witnessing to somebody and you're trying to make them understand it? It doesn't work. The Holy Spirit knows how to do that. But by the same token, when you come to the table for the Word of God, you need to be a participant. Because I'm not just going to throw it at you, because it's going to fall off you. It's not going to be of any use if you don't take it and eat it and have it part of you. You know, ants don't have lungs. They breathe through little tiny holes, pores in their system. And that's why we need the Word of God, because it is a double-edged sword. When it goes in, you know what it does? Punctures you. How many have ever felt the puncturing of God? And you know it when you feel it, because he goes through everything, all of our defenses and everything else. But it is the way that we breathe. It is the way the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And it comes in. Sometimes the very wounds that hurt us are the very wounds that will heal us, when the Lord's in charge. How many know God's in charge? So we need to participate in the home cooking. We also need to be prepared. The Hebrew word prepare means to fix, to make ready, to establish it, and to set it up and arrange it. It takes work to do that, doesn't it? When you prepare something, it takes work. It just doesn't poof and it's there. I mean, that'd be nice, but it doesn't work like that. The Lord expects things to be prepared. He says here that they are prepared in the summer. I love that because, you know, the Lord, He prepares different things in our lives during certain seasons. Isn't that correct? There's certain seasons of life when you're more robust and you have more ability to get things done, and that ends up being a blessing for the time when maybe you can't do it as much. Same with finances or whatever. You can store up your money at this time to be used at another time. But we should be prepared. And it takes time and it takes levels. It doesn't come right away. In cooking, how many of you prepare your work surface? When you're cooking a turkey, you better. Because the couple we've had the last couple years, we're talking back. And it wasn't. But you got to prepare your work surface. And you prepare the food. You got to pull it. You got to strain it sometimes. You got to peel it. There's a lot of different things you have to do to prepare so that meal looks beautiful. Prepare ahead of time. You know, one of the things about when I sit down and, well, which happens, but about the Word, even before I start preparing this that you see, I ask the Lord to prepare me. Prepare the workspace. Prepare the vessel. Because the Word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And because of its power and its potency, when it comes through you, particularly when you're presenting it, if there's anything in there that's bad, it's going to flow out and touch people. Do you want to be touched by the pure Word of God as He intended? I've got to spend time in prayer to make sure that I don't bring anything out that's of me. I don't want it to be me. I want it to be Him. And likewise, as you're sitting there, as you prepare to come to the house of God or do your daily Bible study, whatever it is, prepare first, Holy Spirit, cleanse me. Cleanse this table so that the Word comes forth powerfully and without any of self in it, without anything that's painful or hurtful. Because I can guarantee you, if it's a preacher or whoever it is, and they have an attitude, it's going to come right through the Word. It is. If you've ever sensed it, you know what I'm talking about. You can tell someone's got an attitude, an unforgiveness, or a wound or pain of some sort. That's very powerful. It'll come through. And I don't want it to. I want it to be at the cross. I want it to be taken care of way before I get up here. So I cook from scratch, okay? When we're talking about the Bible, I don't go home, find Proverbs 6, read on every concordance and every commentary I can find, and then I put the words together. I don't do that. I learned in Bible school 30 years ago, do your own work. Do your own work first. You can go to it later to see if you're in the right ballpark, but it should not be the first thing that you do. It shouldn't be. Because what I want to do is I go first when after God's given me the portion of Scripture, and then I ask the Lord, it's more important, Lord, that it's what you say, that the Word is what you say, not what I think it should say. So I let the Word, the particular text, be the message. I'll be honest, when I was thinking about doing this scripture on home cooking, I had a different idea how it would go. Then I opened up the scripture and I said, well, Lord, your word's better than mine, so we'll go with yours. And we'll see what He brings forth. But what I do is I open up, it's called an interlinear. And it's a book of either the original Hebrew or Greek. And it has the scripture as it goes down in the original. Then it has the English interpretation. And then you take the words that you're looking for, because I love to do word studies, as you know. And I go into the lexicon and find the root word or the word itself and to find out how it's applied in this particular verse. That's what I want. I want to know the original intention. Because if we don't know what God meant, we can't really apply it. That'd be like taking some kind of cream and you've never read the label. You don't know what it's for. You could be applying it to the wrong thing and have a bigger problem. Have you ever taken the wrong medicine? Yeah, I knew a lady who thought she was spraying deodorant and she was spraying hairspray. And it was not a pleasant moment in her life. And I won't ask if anyone's ever had that experience, but anyway, I cook from scratch for this reason, because I want it to be the original intention of the presence of God, and I want it to come forth in His Word. And then what we do, then we take this Word and we eat it. We sit at the table and we eat it. But the great thing about the Word of God is that it's not just useful for this moment. Did you know that? Did you know that? The Word of God is forever, which means it's put in you right now. It can minister to an immediate need, yes. Thank God it does. But it has other work that it will do. And so the third thing, it provides storage. The Bible talks about back in Proverbs, the 6th chapter, about the ant and what they do, and one of which, it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. That's in the 8th verse. It stores things. Now, I'm not of the ilk of people that believe we need to put all of our gear in the basement and wait for the Lord to return. Because when the Lord returns, we's going up. Okay? That doesn't mean we can't be wise in storing the Word of God in our life. Because I guarantee you, you'll need it. You will need it. Either in witnessing or in your personal devotion, you will need that word that you just read. The word storage in Webster means to accumulate or mass together. It's a source from which supplies may be drawn. Its noun means a place of deposit for goods, and it usually means a large quantity. How many know God has a storehouse? He's not in recession, people. He never has a problem. He's always full. And so the ant would gather the food in the harvest and store it up. Because the winter, like in Minnesota, is long, quite long. And what they would do, when they gather their food, they'd go out and they gather seeds. They collect the seeds from the ground, or they pluck them from the plants, and they discard the chaff and the empty capsules that they come in, and they take the seeds into their nest, into where they will be. You know what the Lord does? This is called the seed. Right here, the seed. And what its purpose is, as it goes in us, it's supposed to discard the outer. We spend too much time with the outer. God's interested in going inside. And His seed goes inside of us. And it stores up for a future time. How many know the Lord's coming again? How many know He's coming sooner than people think? I'm not sure He'll be on Nightline, but I do know He's coming again. And when I was a kid, I remember I wasn't even a Christian. I know I was not a believer. And I remember thinking, He's coming in my lifetime. I just believe it. Of course, if I went tomorrow and He's not here, that's fine, because I'll be seeing Him. But I do believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. And in Matthew, the 13th chapter, the 36th verse, Jesus left the crowd and He went into the house. And His disciples came to Him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." And He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. And the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire. So it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil, and they will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. When the Lord comes back prior to his return, the world is going to be a very scary place. And I think we already see a pretty good evidence of that. Where should the seed be? It should be stored in us, correct? It should be inside of us. The Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." It's important to memorize it. It's more important to know it and to know what it means and to understand it. How many love the scripture? I hope you do. I hope you grow in an absolute delight for the word of God, because God wants us to store up. There'll be a day. Maybe it'll be this week. You need to know something that we just read in the scripture, because God stored it in your soul, and it'll come out when it's needed. Jeremiah 15 has got a great scripture. 16th verse, "Thy words were like honey, and I did eat them, and they became unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." The word of God. Sometimes it starts bitter, I admit that, because we're not used to it, and it kind of goes against our natural inclinations. But when we digest it, it becomes sweet. It becomes healing. It becomes strengthening. So we begin to know the word, and the word begins to know us. Amos is a prophet of the Old Testament, and he has an interesting verse, and it talks about there's going to be a famine in the world, but it's not going to be a famine of food or physical hunger. It's going to be a famine of the hearing of the word of God. A famine of the hearing, not a famine of the word, but a famine of the hearing of the word. Can you see that there's a veil over many people that can't really understand the word? They're not really listening. They're not really feeding on it. I don't know about you, but I want to be full of the word. It is our only refuge. It is our feeding. It is our fullness. And the Lord, he does do homemade cooking, doesn't he? He made a lamb for dinner for us. And I thank God that he did. But I want to learn from the ants, because they're not lazy. They're workers. And one of the things I've always appreciated in this church and in the Wesleyan community at large is something that they call servant leadership. That means people work. They don't just talk. They work while they're serving the Lord. I think that's a great tribute, because Jesus was a worker, wasn't he? He didn't just stand on the mountain and talk stuff. He actually went to the people, and he served them. I think that's a terrific, terrific component of this church. Servant leadership. Let's participate in the things God wants to do. Let's be prepared, not only in the actual study or whatever we're doing, but the spirit of what we're doing, our own hearts. If we have something against people, let's get it done with. Let's get it over with. Put it under the blood. If we have our own issue, let's take it to the Lord in prayer. If you don't know where your place is, open up your heart to God. He'll find it. It could be just specifically for you. And that's why no one else knows about it, because it's something the Lord is creating. Whatever it is. And then store it up, because we will be using it, I can guarantee you. One of the most delightful things as a Christian are the things, I think I've told you the story when I was at a Christian parachurch ministry and I was on the phone praying with some lady. And I can't remember what the need was, but I got off the phone from her and I prayed and God had given me a great answer. And I remembered I asked the Lord the same question the day before. He didn't answer me until I served. Then he gave me the answer. Some of your answers are going to come as you serve, as you give out of yourself. And God sees that flowing going forward. So when I'm up here, or Pastor Dennis or whoever, or Josh Carter, when he comes next week as missionary, we're not supposed to be alone. You're supposed to be with us in prayer, in reflection, in service. And as a group, as a community, we will thrive. And God will do many things because there's a heat coming. And people need to be safe from the heat and the fire that's over the boundary. How many want to be safe from it? How many want your family safe from it? I know I do. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful today for your word. Lord, that comes in every pore of our life. It ought to. It ought to just invade every part of our life. And not just on Sundays, but every day, because you created every day. And we want to give every day back to you. Lord, we expect to come to your house and be fed, as we should. But you also expect everyone to participate and to be a receptor of the living word of God. And I pray, Lord, for any clots that may be represented, for anything that's in any of our lives, Lord, that diminishes the power of the word of God. Lord, I pray you'd expose it and remove it through the blood of Christ. And then, Lord God, I ask, Lord, for that pure water to flow through each one of us to glorify your name. Lord God, we want to be fed by you, Lord, and we want to make sure it's at the kitchen table of God Almighty, who prepared himself as the Lamb. Lord, the extraordinary grace of a loving God. Make it real in every life, I pray. Father, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, you'd say, I'll be honest, I come to hear and to fellowship, and that's all great. But I need to participate. I need to really prepare my heart for the word, whether it's in Sunday school or in any part of the ministry of the church. And you say, I need to come with a receptive heart, with a clean heart. But I've not always done that, and I would like to be more aware to do that. And you raise your hand and say, Lord, help me to come with that in my soul. You raise your hand. Maybe you're here and you'd say, you know, it's not that I like it, but I can sense in my heart that I have some things that if the Lord flowed them out of me, they may be hurtful because they're hurting me. And I want to be healed of anything that's inside of me that doesn't glorify God and certainly that hurts me or anyone else. And I just want to be a clean vessel. And you'd say, with a raised hand, pray for me. And finally, you'd say, I need to store up this word, the word of the living God. I need to be more attentive to that word than anybody else's. And I want to know the word. And I want it to know me. And you'd say, pray for me that I'm more diligent to let that word be in my soul. And you raise your hand. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every hand and every heart and every life. And I will never, never, Lord, tell you what to do in your people. I pray that you would do your perfect will and perfect way in every life, including mine. And that, Lord, as we are a community of faith, We don't need an overseer. What we need is the Holy Spirit, who will lead us into all righteousness. And would you lead us and guide us? And as we hear from you, you'll cleanse these areas. You'll heal the hurts. Lord, you'll give us a clear perspective to serve you. Mighty God, can we bring any less to you than you brought to us? You prepared the Son of God from the beginning of time. In the right time, you set him forth. May we be patient to see you bring forth your word as you have promised, and bring it in us and bring it through us, that it would touch others who don't know the heat is coming. They don't know the fire is coming, Lord Jesus, but may instead it burn in our soul that we follow you and they, in turn, would follow us. Lord, we thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. Lord, make me a sanctuary. Pastor Dennis to come up and to close in prayer. And if you need prayer, the altar is open.
Let's pray. Dear Father, we praise you for your presence. Lord, for your spirit in our midst, Lord, and this inspiration of your word that we have heard this morning. And Lord, thank you that you, as we delight in you, you give us the desires of our heart. And as your word fills us, Lord, we will delight in you because we will know you better and better and better. Help us to seek your face through your word and in prayer, Lord, that we may be filled to overflowing with your presence, your peace, your joy, your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.